Eurovision.
Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland. All kinds of everything.
Do you got dinner August Bolcha a rash to the Eurovision podcast? Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. This is a very special episode, I suppose we should say, because it is episode number one of Eurovision week. Yes, it is finally here after so many days, so many weeks, so many months and many, many episodes of chatting about Eurovision 2024. Finally, we're here. Now, when I say we're here, we're both in different locations. So I myself am still at home in Eire. I'm still at home in Dublin looking at everything remotely. But my dearest friend, Connor, you're not in Dublin anymore.
No, I am in Malmö, Sweden for Eurovision 2024. And it's strange to finally be here after all this time. You know, we've been building up to it for the last few months and it's here. Finally, you know, it's scary, but yes, I am on the ground in Malmö alongside Alex. Alex was meant to be here tonight, but she is off in Euroclub tonight living her best life, as she should be. So she sends her best wishes to you all, but we will hear from her later in the week anyway. But yes, I am on the ground
now. How's your day been so far, your first day?
Bollocks. To put it in the most Irish way possible. I am so tired. It's always hard traveling on an early morning flight, but it was great. Yeah. There was a great buzz on the plane. There was loads of people traveling over. Everyone was really, really excited. And then the day got better, you know, when we arrived. There was a nice buzz around the city as well. We went straight to rehearsals as well. We met up with Melfest Michal, who is over in the corner beside me right now. Olé, 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 olé. So
I have a feeling he enjoyed the rehearsals today.
he did enjoy the rehearsals today. So yeah, it was exciting. It was good to see the arena and see the meet up with other friends. You know, I remember you describing it last year, like summer camp. You get to meet everyone for one time in May, and it was great to bump into, you know, faces you haven't seen in a year, but you contact obviously all the time. So it's great. It's obviously day one, so I'm knackered now at 20 to 12 at night. So it is. I'm ready for my bed, but of course we've got to talk about the dress rehearsal that happened this evening and today as well. We've seen two run-throughs of the show today, so it's going to be an exciting chat nonetheless, because it's been a busy day for little old Ireland.
Goodness me. Well, should we talk about, before we get to Ireland, we'll just tease everybody a little bit. If you've been following our socials, I think you'll all have a fair idea of how myself, Connor, Alex, and all of the Irish fans feel. But we should chat briefly, Connor, just about the show so far. So this is the first kind of glimpse we've had into SVT hosting after their seventh win in 2024 in Malmö. Again, what are we thinking in general of the show so far? So we've only had semi one. We've had our introductory performers. We have our hosts, Petra and Malin. We have our interval acts. We have, you know, our green room in a slightly different location to the last couple of years, and graphics and loads of bits to touch on. Is there anything in particular, Connor, you would like to chat about from semi-final one so far?
I'm not the biggest fan of the show, if I'm being honest. It hasn't, like, the performances, of course, are amazing. The stagings are phenomenal, but Petra and Malin, I'm not a huge fan of this combination of hosts. I think Petra, obviously, we know what we're getting with her. She's hosted twice before. This is her third time. She's fantastic. But I just felt Malin was, a bit not so rusty, because it was just, it was, if it was, she was giving nothing basically. It was kind of just a very bland,
particularly in that first rehearsal today, I would say.
It was all over the place, to be honest. And you know, they didn't really bounce off each other very well. It was as if they were reading off the autocue, to be honest, you know, the jokes and stuff. Petra obviously has a great timing delivery, being a comedian, you know, in the past, but I thought Mullen just was a bit static, didn't really do much. And yeah, like the opening act is phenomenal. You know, you have the likes of like Eleni Ferreira, Eric Sada, and
Chanel.
Who else do we have? Chanel, is, of course, as well. But it was a bit of a weird opening to Eurovision 2024. You know, there was no kind of like, welcome to Malmö, welcome to Eurovision 2020. It was very much like, oh, here's three great artists from the past, but, you know, welcome to the show. It didn't feel as if that was the right way to start off the show, in my opinion. Now, in saying that, the performance was amazing. You know, it was great to see those stagings, you know, and the different takes on the songs, and three iconic Eurovision artists.
Yeah, is this a blasphemous Eurovision fan thing to say? I'm kind of over Fuego and Slow Mo. I'm kind of over them. Popular, I was like, yeah, cool, because like, I love Eric Sada. He's Swedish, you know, like, he's from an era of the last time Malmö hosted. But yeah, I was
true,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Fuego's iconic, of course. I just don't need to see it for like the 50th time. Like, I know it's Slow Mo's more recent, but like, give us more on the hosts, Connor. I will say, that watching the second run through tonight, the atmosphere of the show generally was a lot better with the crowd. I was a bit worried watching it this afternoon. I was like, oh, this is all a bit dead. It was very up in the air, them missing their cues, a couple of dodgy graphics and stuff going on. It was cleaned up a lot this evening. So sometimes it just takes a couple of rehearsals to iron these things out while people are being a bit more robotic until they get it to a better place. Can I just say my favorite quote from Petra to start out the night? And if you don't want to know what this is, if you don't want this spoiler from Star Semi 1, you know, skip ahead by like 30 seconds or so of the podcast. But Petra says, here we are back in Sweden. I know, don't blame me. I voted for Finland as well. Which I just know Eurovision fans will appreciate the world over.
Absolutely.
Even locals who watched Eurovision last year. I mean, everyone was talking about cha-cha-cha. Can we talk about Johnny Logan?
Oh, J-Lo. The icon that is Mr. Eurovision himself.
Euphoria.
It was really breathtaking, to be honest. You know, he still has such an incredible vocal, and obviously he's not old, you know, he's in his 60s, or, you know, he's not by any means past it, but like, he still retains that voice that like so many people fell in love with all those years ago. And it was great to see him on stage. Again, I loved seeing him on stage, but like, talk about random, you know, I understand the kind of, you know, it being like three wins, you know, king of Eurovision, the queen of Eurovision being Loreen, but like, for a Swedish show, surely it should be like the best of Sweden. Yeah, he was really, really good. It kind of gave me like Justin Timberlake vibes from 2016. You know, his great package, really, really good. But like, he's a Swedish icon, you know. And it was funny that I think it was Malin that was doing the joke of, oh, Benjamin finished seventh. This is another spoiler, by the way, if you want to skip ahead 30 seconds. But it was like, oh, Benjamin Grosso finished seventh, and that's in Eurovision standard a great result. Swedish standards, very bad. It's like poking fun at it, but it there's like a good few of those jokes sprinkled around. There's a good like dating app joke towards the end that some people might get, which was quite funny.
I heard
a lot
ping,
of faces turned.
Like, is that what I think it is? And then I had to Google it, and I was like, oh yes, it is what I thought it was.
And I will tell you, the amount of faces that turned and were kind of like worried that it might have been there. I don't think anyone expected it in the crowd, but it was funny enough anyway. But it's those clever little things sprinkled out through the show is really, really nice.
Just to quickly circle back to Johnny Logan, I know we kind of moved on, but I did just want to read out something that I kept thinking while I was watching Mr. Logan, Mr. Eurovision himself, performing, you know, Euphoria, one of the most iconic winners of all time, the only other performer to win as an artist twice. We know Mr. Logan won as a songwriter for the third time, we should add.
I love the way you call him Mr. Logan. It sounds very official. Mr. Logan.
Respect, Connor, you know, just a respect thing. But I've just pulled up a quote here because I didn't want to misquote him. I'd read a quote a while ago where Johnny Logan was asked about Lurien and, you know, the connection between them as, you know, both being double winning Eurovision artists. And he said, Lurien is one of the finest singers that has ever taken part in Eurovision. It's an honour to be mentioned in the same breath as her. So, yeah, Johnny Logan there, a lot of respect for Lurien, his fellow double champion as an artist of Eurovision, and then on a stage in Sweden singing her song after Sweden's seventh win. You know, it's there's a lovely play off this Swedish-Irish kind of, I wouldn't even call it a rivalry, I don't know what you would call it, this camaraderie maybe that we have as having the most wins. Really nice touch for Irish fans, particularly in this semi-final.
Definitely. Will we move on to the elephant in the room, I guess? And I say, well, everyone at home is probably thinking...
Here's a segue. Speaking of Irish Eurovision fans having something to enjoy in the final, yeah, we're not worrying about any running order here. Let's just go straight to Ireland. So, Conor, interestingly, you and Alex and other members of the fan press in the tennis in Malmö were in the arena. I watched this at home. So I purely got the camera angles and the sound mix thing and that sort of side of things. I'm sure you guys had screens to look at too, but you also had the arena atmosphere and the arena sound of Bambi's performance. Yeah, walk us through what you saw, what you're thinking, how you're feeling.
Oh, I don't even know. It was kind of a fever dream. Sitting there and watching it, it was kind of, I don't even remember, to be honest, because I just remember being so shocked and kept turning to Alex, who was on one side, and Micheál was on the other, and just being like, is this Ireland? Is this us? Like, are we actually doing what we're doing? And I kept looking between the stage and the screen to, because obviously the camera angles are so, so important to this performance. But even on the stage, like the performance, even in the arena, watching it, you're captivated by it. And that's what I was worried about it, because you know, the camera angles, like I said, are so, so important. But you, of course, have to entertain the audience at the same time. And we saw that in 2021 with Leslie Roy as well. You know, we love her to bits, but that was very much a for home audience as opposed to the arena. Whereas this, yes, it is very much tailored towards the camera angles and making sure that the cinematic quality of the song and the performance come through. But in the arena, you're still captivated and you're just like, what is going on? And just the glow up really from Eurosong, like it's chalk and cheese. How this has come from a Late Late Show national final is unbelievable. And it's just testament to Bambi Thug themselves to see the creative power that they have within themselves, but also within their team as well. It is phenomenal. I was gobsmacked, to be honest, watching this. And I came away from it so proud and so in awe of Bambi and their journey. And it didn't really hit me until we got back to the press center and people started coming up who, you know, aren't affiliated with Ireland. They have no like connections with Ireland. They're all, you know, just doing their own thing, and they're congratulating us and they're saying, that was amazing. What the hell? People coming up wanting like a photo with like the Crown the Witch flag that we had. And it was just, it was unbelievable to have that reaction to little old Ireland, you know, this little country who's not doing so well in recent years. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. And it's still like sitting here talking to you now, it feels like a fever dream. Of course, we'll talk about it in a bit, but like the odds movement, like we're moving up the odds. I remember at the end of the performance, I turned around, the press officer from RTÉ, Raina, was sitting behind us a few rows, and I literally just clapped at her and I was like, that is phenomenal, like well done to team. And you know, the whole team of RTÉ, you know, we're very the ones, you know, first to criticize and get on their backs, but they are smashing it this year. Everything they've done is they've got it right, and it's breathtaking. And you know, the audience tonight, when the episode's out, obviously it's this evening, you will be captivated by it and you will not forget it at all. You like, even if you try to forget this, you will not. And I can't believe it's an Ireland staging. Like, that's Ireland on the stage. Like, what the hell? It's actually unbelievable. To, like, you take over, because I'm actually flabbergasted by it.
I have loads to say. Well, first of all, Connor, you're mentioning there, it's just put it in my head, the RT team. And like, I really applaud the RT team, particularly for the improvement and promotion, like the lovely ad they've had going on. RTE One Admin on social media has been brilliant. They're giving us a run for our money. Like, it's making me competitive online. Like,
funny story. We met her today. I won't say her name. Yeah. I'll keep her like in hiding. But we met her today, and we were like, "You're smashing it!" And I was like, "You're literally like, we've been stealing your content." Like, it's, it was like so in awe, and it was just so nice to have that like respect, you know, either side of like, "Oh, you guys are killing it, but you're killing it as well." And it was just so good to see the buzz of it. And yeah, they're lovely. But
okay, so another spoiler time, everybody. Give this like maybe 3 to 4 minutes, skip through if you don't want to hear about Bambi's postcard and staging, because I'm going to just like walk us all through it, okay, as best as I can. I know most people are going to see it tonight, but if you want a little insight into what Bambi Talk's performance will look like, I'm going to walk you through it. So first of all, I really, really love, and this is such a small thing, but in the postcard, so every postcard this year is showing snippets of two previous entries from each country. It tends to be like a winner and a non-winner, but like a loved non-winner. And Ireland's postcard has Johnny Logan, Hold Me Now, and Jedward Lipstick. And I love that they're in the postcard because those artists in particular, along with like Brooke and stuff, have been really supportive of Bambi. So I think it's lovely that they're in the postcard. And of course, they're very loved Irish artists too. Bambi's postcard was filmed kind of in a castle, wasn't it? In Cork, I believe. So really lovely shots there. Now, as for the performance, everybody has probably seen by now the rehearsal photos of the kind of, looks like a seance, yeah? So like candles in a circle. Bambi starts in the center of those candles and pretty much stays in that region for most of the song. Now, Bambi starts off those, you know, flashing camera cuts like we saw in the rehearsal snippet from the second rehearsals, lovely camera angles. Then kind of from the second verse, we got a lot of interaction of Bambi with their dancer, who's kind of like a centaur. And there's kind of this back and forth between Bambi and the dancer. Whenever it moves into that poppy, I guess you'd rather have a star than the moon. We get kind of this purple background, beautiful light blue moon. There's some lovely aerial shots of Bambi and great use of the LED floor.